So, do you know what Foxtrot is?
Yes, I do. I actually do know what Foxtrot is. If anyone knows me, especially like my family, we are obsessed with Dancing with the Stars. We're at like 35 seasons in, and the Foxtrot is our go-to dance. R.I.P. Lin. And as I think about Foxtrot, I think about so many celebrities that have danced their way to the top with that dance. What are you talking about?
The way you're dancing around the conversation, do you know what Foxtrot, the
Foxtrot
formerly known
DZ.
the unfortunate white people's bodega that just closed down all across the country? They just did not close down here in DC. They abruptly shut down midday, without giving any advice to their employees. How would you feel if your employer just fired you out of nowhere?
First of all, I can imagine. First of all, my heart goes out to the workers, because you're so
Dude, whose thoughts
crazy.
and prayers are with the white people that are sad about their $4 wine not being on sale anymore?
No, obviously, anytime your job fucks with you, it's like terrible, right? It's always gonna be a dick move on the company, and it's always gonna be without notice and just something that affects the workers, the employees.
Did you ever go to a fox shop? Do you know what that? There's one right by my place, so I know what it is.
So Foxtrot, so it is a Foxtrot to so what is it, Trader Joe's Light? What is this? I don't know what Foxtrot is. When I hear Foxtrot, does that make me think that it was a cheap store, convenience store? Y'all telling me it's a 7-Eleven?
It was pretty much like an overly priced 7-Eleven, like where like white people with labradoodles would feel comfortable in going into to get like cheap snacks or like actual snacks. Like they didn't sell combos, but they probably sold like the non-artificially flavored version of like pizza combos. So it was that kind of space.
What? Okay. What the fuck is a gourmet bodega? I've seen that there's a magazine article that's posted like gourmet bodegas that are better than Foxtrot anyway in DC. And I'm like, is gourmet bodega a brand of bodega? I thought the idea of a bodega was
No.
that supposed to be kind of, around the way.
Gourmet bodegas don't exist. That's just another way. That's a coded way for white people to tell each other, okay, this is like not like a bodega, but it's like a bodega with like,
You get the feeling of it without the
almond
feeling of it.
butter. You can buy almond butter there. You can buy like organic products there. You can make like artisanal sandwiches. We like, our sandwiches are $15, but they're super like good for you. So is that kind of bodega is not like the bodegas you see in New York. And this is just another
Oh
thing
my
that
God,
white
New
people have rebranded.
Yorkers. New York loves saying what they t what we took from everyone. It's New York. It's New York.
I mean, bodegas did like, corner stores, all those things, like those are, that's primarily like, I feel like a New York thing. And like here you just have like, smoke shops and like
Smoke shops
gas station
and
and gas stations.
boots. I mean boots with the fur. Yes, ma'am.
But unfortunately, you were not part of like the five cities in America that had Foxtrot, because gentrification has hit downtown Maryland, wherever you live. But
Downtown Maryland is crazy.
like, what kind of sense of gentrification do you see around your neighborhood? Like how do you see like Silver Spring getting gentrified? Because we get like, again, gourmet bodegas, we get like,
You know what?
like
We are
white
finally
people
getting a
pupusas.
roaming rooster. So y'all already know what the fuck it is. The roaming rooster in DC. Where's the roaming rooster? There's one in Tinleytown. There's one
Oh,
in.
I have noticed that there is like, like gentrifiers that like hit like main cities, but then you have like the cute little gentrification spots that are like mid-level that go to like the small towns and
Like Washington, DC, yeah.
like downtown Silver Spring, you
And
said.
Washington, D.C., clearly, because it's in D.C., so.
They have it? What is a roaming rooster? I don't know what that
Rooster,
is.
D.C. Okay, because it's in, again, Tinleytown. There's a lot of places around D.C.
But yeah, like Tinleytown's like a small town. I don't know.
Is
Tinleytown's like in DC,
Tinleytown
but
not in D.C.? Yes, it
I mean,
is.
it's definitely in DC, but it's not in DC, if you know what I'm saying. It's just like, so that's like a different area of DC where you really are transported to like, oh my God.
Like Ivy
Like,
City.
no, Ivy City is like barren, but like,
There's one
You
on
know, it's like
Wisconsin Ave. No, you're gonna stop
Tinley Town's like a
playing.
sundown town, you know what I'm saying?
You're gonna stop playing. It's Tinley Town, Wisconsin Ave, U Street. Oh, girl, bye. It's on U Street. You're playing me. So yeah, we're up here. We're also a city. That's why they came over here because of Roman roosters all around. And that's the kind of gentrification we see. It's just different little pop-ups. But you know, we're so diverse down here. In downtown Silver Spring, you know, whether you want Ethiopian, Vietnamese, Thai, Jamaican, you feel me? We do any kind of food around here, and we're always just a beacon of diversity. I think we just have the safety that DC wishes it had.
It's just so crazy to see so many different, and this I feel like is more of like a WeWork situation where they opened a lot of them very quickly. And so, but you do notice that like a lot of places in DC are closing down. Like a lot of businesses are just shutting down out of nowhere.
I mean,
And so
that's
I
why
was.
I invited you to Artomatic, that, you know, installation that was in that old office building in downtown DC, right? On like M Street. And it's just 8 floors of art installations, but it's in some old building. Because everything's closing. Well, I mean, they obviously closed years ago, but
Well,
everything
those
is
are
closing.
different because I feel like those office buildings never reopened after the pandemic. But like these are businesses. These are businesses across the country that are just like closing, that can't maintain shop. Like Wawa closed a couple places in here. There's a lot of 7-Eleven, CVSs that are closing. Like these are major
Bojangles did
corporate.
close for the DMV era, y'all. I'm so sorry to tell you, Bojangles is no more.
Well, in Union Market, in Union Station, yeah, that's been a thing.
In places in Maryland, okay. Shout out to my Largo
They
people.
close in Maryland.
Yes, Diva. But I cannot get Bojangles unless it
You
is.
couldn't keep him open?
Bojangles
You
doesn't
went
even
there
hit.
every morning.
Oh my God. No, I don't. You see this body? This is not Bojangles' body. This is HelloFresh. This is
You
couscous and carrots.
definitely
This is
you
couscous
were.
and carrots.
Do they even call it sweet tea up here, or they call it iced tea?
I just say sweet tea, but yeah, I mean it's not even good outside of North Carolina, no shade, even though I saw Bojangles was expanding all these restaurants to California of all places.
I mean, if a Bojangles wants to replace Foxtrot, I'm definitely okay with that. That would be like so crazy for
I'm
me,
sad
but
I didn't
like,
get to go to Foxtrot, so like really cute, fun, artisanal 7-Eleven. I don't know if y'all remember this. This could have been like a very small town thing, but we had World Market. Do you remember that big store
we have a
called?
there's a World Market in D, there was at least, well, it was in the Bath and Body Work here in
Exactly. You remember that
DC.
like Pier 1 Imports, World Market, Bed Bath and Beyond era of like just
I
shops
feel like
that.
that's still a thing if you wanted to go, but you don't want to go to Chinatown. Clock that tea.
I was just in Chinatown to see the big Barbie, Harajuku Nikki.
Keep
I
going.
also did watch a video fight of a fight in Chinatown at the Gallery Place Metro, which is like a rite of passage apparently for DC teens.
Recently, would you live in Chinatown?
I don't know. Something about that word just really makes me feel uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Inter No, I don't know what you mean,
Oh,
but I suspect I know what you mean, though.
right. I mean, like, isn't that like weird to like live somewhere based on a whole nother culture that we don't really uplift? Like, what kind of message are we sending? We should really like rename that, right?
I mean, Chinatown is also just like I always like thought it was like based off like that's where Chinese people in America when they came to this country came, and just like you call like Little El Salvador when in California, you just have these like places where I thought it was because Chinatown used to be primarily historically Chinese, or people that's where people migrated to.
And they used to steal that from New York.
I mean, that's an interesting point. Do you want to look this up? Maybe we should look this up on the podcast. That'd be interesting content.
To see what is it called? Chinatown.
Where?
Because why can't we call it something fun like Equality Town, TikTok Village?
So apparently Chinatown is literally just like it was honestly derivative of Singapore in the 1800s, and it was just always known as. It was actually like dubbed by British colonial governments, and I guess it was just to tell people where the Chinese people were.
Okay, so yeah, we let's change our history, y'all. What could we call or rename Chinatown so that we feel more comfortable?
Well, do China, well, we have to ask Chinese people, do y'all like Chinatown or not? You
Are
know?
there Chinese people living there in bulk,
Huh?
in mass? Are there Chinese people living there in mass?
I mean, it is Chinatown. There's everything in Chinese. Everything, like all the
Everything in
stores are
Chinese. Stop, girlie.
all
Everything.
everything,
Stop. You don't have a
all the
lot of these
movies,
people.
everything, like all the signs, like fucking, if there's a Wells Fargo down there, you see the Wells Fargo written in Chinese. The Equinox there, you see written in Chinese. You don't go to Chinatown though. Oh, you live in a luxury building though, and recently a luxury building in Chinatown City Center just replaced their whole front desk staff with the Amazon delivery service for their packages and stuff. How do you
Oh,
feel as a
that's an icon. You know, obviously, right? I don't think it's like a gentrification thing. I think it's just like a future thing. Obviously, we want to live in a more efficient world. Don't you really want? You remember right before COVID, they were like, "Y'all, we're gonna have these grocery stores everywhere in cities where you just walk in, and Amazon just automatically scans you up, and you don't have to. There's no more cashiers, and we just
Well, they
walk in
just
and."
closed the Amazon store on 14th, so I don't know how well that went.
Exactly, because you really it's hard to really replace human interaction or necessity. So, I mean, I love my concierge staff. I don't know where I'd be without my team. You know what I mean? No, for real. I really think it is like a team support, and that makes it sound such a diva. But some are really supportive. You know, there's definitely ones who really rock with me, who know Nunu Paris, who know what I look like when I'm coming and going from a gig, who open the door and make sure my stuff is up here because I got stuff going on. So again, I really do appreciate my team, my staff, my UDR family.
Would you get upset if your hotel building just replaced the hotel staff with robots? Would you put up as much of a fight as everyone else is at City Center?
I would sign a petition. You feel me?
Would you think of being upset, or would you be like, oh, are people upset about this?
I mean, I don't know. I really do love the staff. You know what I mean? I love that they're there. I love that they're there for me. I think the safe assist and security. I like that, I do know all the
You like a
maintenance.
doorman.
I like that I know all the maintenance workers and custodians
Do you think
and
that's why the
concierge
people
staff.
in City Center are upset? Now they're losing that sense of a doorman?
I think that, I mean, that is a real thing. Like, I mean, because they become
Because
like
is it
a.
about workers or is it about their feeling, do
Oh. It's
you
definitely
think?
feeling. I mean, I mean, they become a sense of family. You know what I mean?
So they don't care about the workers, though.
I mean, I don't want them to lose their bag either. I mean, obviously, concierges come and go, right? There's good ones or bad ones.
Well,
It's
we
an
all know the
evolving world.
concierges and if you're taking a job in a luxury building, you know that employee is not getting paid well at all.
At
Like
all.
at all. So like to me it's a little weird that y'all are like sad like or there's people sad in these buildings, like luxury buildings where I mean those apartments, the luxury apartments in City Center are I think probably the most expensive pieces of like luxury apartment real estate in DC. And you cannot tell me these people are like, oh, can Oseke defend the workers. Bitch, they
Right,
make a
right.
quarter of what you make a year. And you're saying we want workers. I suspect that that's sometimes it's coming from, a sense of we like having staff.
I mean, yes, there's the Karen aspect of it for sure, where you want someone to yell at or boss around or, just respond to your request at will, right? How would I feel if I couldn't be like, oh, someone do something because something. But that is also what you're paying for. Like, I don't own a house or those people who, especially in the city, when you're renting or owning a condo or an apartment, when you're choosing this lifestyle, like, obviously, we want the luxury of having someone to be there when we need you. I can call maintenance, I can call emergency staff, I can call these things, I can look for my package, someone can hold things for me, someone can do things, Like, that's kind of the point. That pseudo hotel lifestyle.
I mean that's my biggest complaint about luxury apartment buildings is that they come with this like sense of hotel vibes and not an authentic like homey vibe. My favorite thing is to go over a luxury apartment for a hookup though. That makes it so much easier and just feels like so much more straightforward. I prefer a luxury apartment visit than a fucking hotel visit sometimes. Hotel visits could, I mean, that's even scarier. Like, this person could really just fucking kill you. At least they live here, and I'm like, okay. But it's nice. Usually the door people let you up. They don't guilt you because they know you're about to take dick and then walk out, you know?
Yeah, I like that when they're cool, the concierges are cool and just let you up, you know? Like, if we're not kids, we're not an RA, like,
Oh.
who cares?
Oh, you have people coming over and, you know, it's a rotating door over there in New
It's a
Paris Land.
rotating door. I really think, what do you mean, not homey? I feel at home. I feel great. I like, you know, we had a conversation. Okay, so
Yeah,
obviously, I've been
because you're
here.
tranquilized.
I'm tranquilized by the joy of this living style I have. Yeah, you're right. I
I
think.
know you are at home in your apartment though, because you have also you don't you feel like you live in a mall? You have a gym.
I'd
You
never go to
have
that, though.
a cafe, you have a
There's no
pool,
cafe, girl.
you have a second kitchenette,
Yeah.
you have several
Office
things that
spaces,
you
yeah.
live in Jefferson Suites.
I enjoy it because I like the community. Rafi and I had a conversation where, you know, he left something or I took something from his apartment and he had to come over to my apartment, but I was, of course, away on my date. So I had
Watching Shrek 2. Shrek 2. Okay,
first of all, yes, I was on my date with Shrek 2, but you're my man. We
yo.
went to see the 20th anniversary of Shrek 2 in theaters. Amazing experience. 10 out of 10. Do recommend going high and or drunk, knowing everything in the laugh. And, you know, me and the lady in front of us was really having a good time. People were trying to, like, be quiet in their low key. I was like, this is Shrek 2. We need to laugh, y'all. We need to be the vibes. Like, we need to be loud. But it was really, really fun. And the movie's like 90 minutes, so it's just perfect. It's just so perfect. And we had so much fun. But anyway, so when you came over to get this bag that I left outside my apartment door, you were concerned because you thought someone was going to take it. And obviously, I've lived in this kind of style for, you know, 7+ years, going towards a decade of my life. And I'm so used to, like, the sense of community and people just, like, never messing with you because everyone lives their own little separate life. You know what I mean? Like, there was a package outside of a door this week for 3 days before the person got it. And it was just out there. You knew exactly what it was. But who's going to mess with someone's stuff? Like, you live in a building and you're supposed to be trustworthy people.
I mean, things have definitely been stolen in my building. I think that just comes sometimes with the territory of living in a community. But I don't put things past nice buildings. You hear about stories happening in these luxury buildings all the time about packages being stolen. I mean, maybe it is a little safer out there in Maryland, but I know that here in DC right now, I think even in these luxury buildings, there's always someone that's like, oh, maybe I will steal this. Maybe they won't notice this, you
Someone's
know?
ready to hit a lick. Period.
But do you associate like safety with just like aesthetics?
Not aesthetics, because I hate when they put like a really nice building in the middle of, like, you know what I mean?
What? No, I don't. Explain to the audience. Explain to the audience, please.
No, I will always think it's weird, and that's when I think of gentrification. Like, we've definitely had friends and associates over the years where we've gone to their really, really nice, expensive luxury buildings attached to our Whole Foods or whatever, but then, like, right across the street is like a homeless encampment, and I'm like, so what are we doing for the area? Like, obviously we put this building in this high needs area, but we're not doing anything for the community around it. So it's just such a weird, just jointed kind of thought. I think I really hate when it's just like that. Like, so I don't think aesthetics only matters. Like, aesthetics helps, but, like, it has to be like location, the overall feeling and vibe of the area. Like, I like where I live. Like, I can walk around and feel comfortable, you know?
Do you feel comfortable walking around in downtown? Because there's no sidewalks really. There's just like, I mean, sometimes I feel like I like DC because even if, you know, we have a, I mean, I wouldn't even say our crime rate is as high as other cities in America, but even though there's shit goes on in DC, like I'm walking around, there's people out there. Like I walk outside, 14th Street is right there, people are out there. So if something happens, honey, people are watching. So sometimes I feel like when you're in like, more of the suburbs, someone could just like abduct you. But you if you walk to that Chinese place, but like in that bit in between down there, no one's walking down there. Someone could easily just scoop you
Oh,
late at
booze.
night. Oh, that you so you're saying you would never be caught dead out doing that.
Exactly. I mean, I would never
But
be out
then,
there.
aren't you saying that? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you
I mean, I don't judge safety by, you know, if I can walk behind the alley at 2 a.m. by myself. I mean, that's already questionable. I think Batman told us early on that alleyways at night don't always end up the best for families or people involved.
are you saying that because his parents died in like an
And
alleyway?
Crime Alley, yeah.
Oh, you live in Crime Alley.
I think this gives Santee Alley.
Do you know where Santee Alley is?
Oh my gosh.
Valid question. Do you
How's it a valid question?
know what Santee Alley is?
Tell me.
Well, I've been to Santee Alley twice, and I love Santee Alley every time I've been.
Oh my God,
That
but you
was.
bought me nothing. You brought nothing
I
back to
bought
me.
you. Yes, I did. I bought you something for sure. You just throw everything away I buy from you.
I have everything right here in my Raffy box. Have you heard of this these bodegas that this Washington magazine is claiming that it's better than Foxtrot? Like, have you heard of them? I love seeing like all these giant recommendations. What is A-Littery in Union Market? What's that?
Okay, that's already questionable.
Aurora Market. Don't know what that is.
Okay, Aurora Beam.
Bread First on Connecticut.
Well, okay.
Broad Branch Market at Jimmy G's. Is this DC?
First of all, yeah, where are we? Okay, I was going close
Said
by.
Cornucopia and Davy R. This is so funny to go through their list. Dent Place Market in Georgetown. Each Peach Market in Mount Pleasant. What is Girl in the Vine in Tacoma Park?
Can
Are
you
these
send
all.
me this list? Send me this list because
This
I need
is
to talk about
so
this. This is so funny.
funny. What is this? I've never heard of any of these. Oh, about Neato or Odd Provisions or Rice Market. Okay, they put Logan Circle here. Do you know what Rice Market is?
Rice Market, isn't that like a, I thought that was like a restaurant.
It's a bodega option. What
White
about
people are just so.
Salumeria? Salumeria in Brooklyn and Noma. Salumeria.
I want you to know, I have no idea. Odd provisions, do not know. Rice Market, Sarah
You live in Logan
Market.
Circle, allegedly. Allegedly.
Girl, I have no idea where this is. I do not know what this is.
And these other small Caucasian bodegas exist. Have you know what you should do? A review. The bodega bonanza review.
White people's culture is so funny to me.
Just as a side note, white people culture is funny. Like, I think about how we adapt to white people's culture sometimes, not in like the oh my God, you're code switching, but like I did a performance at of Taylor Swift Bingo at the Coop in Columbia Heights, which I absolutely loved. I had a ball, amazing time, right?
Yes.
However, during the performance, a couple who saw me performing outside as I was doing my number came in with their dog, and during my number, I pet the dog as is customary in white culture. And those are
Yes.
some of the code switching things, because if anyone knows me, knows I do not like animals whatsoever.
Yeah.
I don't think I've even touched Rafi's cat in the last.
True, and you touched a random white person's dog, so that says a lot.
That says a lot. If you give me money, honey, I'll touch whatever you
Did
want.
I give you money?
Ooh.
Oop,
Ooh.
oop.
As long as the coop gave me my money, that's what was important.
Yeah, I again, I don't.
Who is writing
I
these lists?
we lived in North Carolina, so we know white people culture. And I feel like DC and these big cities, like imagine like Fox, no wonder, like obviously Foxtrot closed down in New York City. Why would you go to a white man's bodega when you have the actual bodegas?
It'd be
Like that
cheaper
makes
too, literally.
cheaper. And I think white people just rely on this sense of like They rely on each other to keep their markets open, but they forget that they don't have each other's back all the time. They will. There's a lot of white people going into the bodegas down the street. The Marqueta that I go to, white people are in there all the fucking time.
No, that's what I was gonna say. You know, if
Like,
you
you would never walk in there, ironically, but other people,
okay,
like the hipsters are in
let's
there.
not assume things of what people would
No,
and
no,
wouldn't
no,
do.
no. If like no, if a hipster would walk in somewhere, Nunu Paris would not walk
That
in
is
there.
so weird. As I've said time and time on this podcast again, everyone knows in my college years, I lived the hipster lifestyle. I was in the hipster neighborhood at the hipster parties. In my
That's
soul, I am of the people.
but
Just
you don't
me.
do that. You don't go into like corner stores. You don't do that.
I don't
So like
personally, again, I really don't
you're
see a
like Joanne.
reason.
You're like Lady Gaga during the Joanne era. That's the first time she went to a dive bar in like 30 years. And so yeah,
It's not even that. It's just
you
like,
went
why
to
would I go
one
to a
dive
corner
bar during
store?
college because your friends made you. That's not because you went to Tay Street Coffee. Woo. They played jazz in there. Like you still t let me tell you, mama,
Until
you
you've
are
gone and done
posh.
mosh
You're
pits
posh.
at
You're
Blind
posh.
Tiger, you know what I'm
You're
saying? Until
posh.
you've really been at the parties down in Westerwood, you don't
You
fucking
don't take
know. You don't
Metro.
fucking
You
know. The thing
don't take
is,
Metro.
when you're saying all these things, the reason is why. Why would I take Metro? Why would I go to a corner store? There is no practical reason for me to do those things in my life, the way my life is set up. And I don't know what everyone else's
The way
life
your bank account
plan.
must be set up, because if you don't have time to walk anywhere, that's crazy.
Again, y'all see me, I want to go.
Because you, I'm sure you ordered from Foxtrot on Uber Eats.
I do think my favorite quote was that from Bingo, where they were like, "What do you have a savings account? You do Uber Eats, and you have everything delivered, and you eat out all the time, and you have all these drag and wigs. So like, what? How are you saving money?" And I'm like, God, sometimes people can just enjoy work and make money.
And not think about their future.
I think about their future. No, I mean it's not that. I just have it. I don't know. I mean, but everyone who
Spoken like an
asked,
only child. Spoken like
no.
your pa does your is your Uber Eats connected to your mom's account? Like
I get.
you
I tell
do
people I don't
live.
know what everyone else's life plan is, but mine was always to make sure I lived comfortably. And to me, that does not specifically involve going to a corner store market. And it's not anything against corner store markets. It's just, what does that experience give me? What is we going to a corner store is doing what for me? Like, I can order everything I want, have it delivered at my door, or I have to walk in somewhere and talk to and mingle with everyone.
Everyone is good. There's just a culture like going, first of all, going in, like just like looking around. Also, you can find some good hidden gems in some of these New York bodegas. Like you could really like just find like the stuff that you would not find at a Whole Foods. You know, you're gonna find the authentic shit. Like if you go to the Marqueta that's right down the street from me, they do have a lot of like fucking avocado mayonnaise and all shit, but they will also have like the customary like real Asian shit that like I can make real ramen in my place right now. Real ramen, not that fake cup of noodle shit.
First of all, no one should be eating ramen if you care about your heart or cholesterol. But
You
I'm
don't eat ramen because it's again poor people's food, but.
no, it's not that. Girl, and we all have dined on ramen many a night in our day. I just, again, my life plan was to make sure I don't have to do that no more. I don't know why it's that's really the theme here. But I was gonna say, if anyone's joined us at Rigatone Brunch and enjoyed our delicious candy that definitely comes from La Marqueta, and I love the fact that we go for these authentic experiences because that's it's super cool.
That. I love that. I love that. I just love the fact that we're
I
so
love that
fucking
for y'all.
authentic.
Because
Oh,
that's, I feel like that's a food-based response. Like, you get to hit hidden gems. Like, I'm a picky eater. Everyone knows me. I've never had anything, right? Anything Rafi's eaten, I've never had.
I don't understand picky eaters. I can eat. I genuinely like any like I'm open to any food really.
Like
I call
boots.
I think it's beautiful because also you realize how many different cultures blend and are similar. Like there's a lot of like Arabic, Middle Eastern, like Southeast Asia, Southwest Asia influences in Latino culture in our foods that are very similar. So I think that's really fun and interesting.
I fully agree, and I support that for anyone who wants to go through that journey. I think I looked
But
through.
don't you like if you went to a different country, like if you went to Colombia, would you like experiment with their food? Like, would you like have their customary food?
Not
Why?
Saturday.
Why would you not have like some good like Colombian food, like
It's
arepas and
not even
shit?
again. It's never about the culture. It's about me, right? And my palate and what I feel. I think that I connect with culture through music, through art, through beauty, through fashion. Like that's what I connect through culture and
Have you
also
ever had like
reading.
Mediterranean or Indian food?
I'm sure something
Have
at
you had
the end
hummus?
may qualify. Yeah, for sure.
Lies.
I have.
Lies.
But again,
Lies.
to the people, I have never eaten a hamburger. I never had ribs. I've never eaten turkey and ham and all these regular, quote unquote American things. So anything outside of that, is also an extreme stretch. But my palate's growing every day. Something I tried yesterday, which was so delicious, a spicy margarita. I have never had the thrill of blending spice into a drink. Like that's where I'm at. That's my kind of adventure. You know what I mean? Like having chiles and seeds and big jalapenos in the tequila was just delicioso.
I don't think Nunu's ever been to an authentic, like, international restaurant.
I have. Why do y'all say that? Obviously, anyone knows my friend group is very, so diverse, boots diverse.
So, you've gone to authentic like Latino restaurants?
I definitely think
Because
we have to
let's be
get.
clear, when you were in North Carolina, you were ordering the ACP. And for the people listening right now, if you don't know what ACP is, arroz con pollo, rice and chicken,
Punto.
and that it was literally that's how they could say it. That's why they order in North Carolina the ACP, which means you're gonna get
It's
rice,
actually
cheese,
super
and chicken.
embarrassing. It's actually super embarrassing because, like, when you
It
are
does
someone.
hit. It does hit though.
No,
That
it's no, the
white
food's great.
cheese,
The food is great. There's nothing about
the
the
white
food.
cheese,
It's
girl,
nothing about the
ate.
food. The food always eats. But it's like when you go to a restaurant in a place, in a southern place or a place that, people are not speaking or Spanish or not even like celebrating any kind of Latino culture. It's really funny to go in there because I like you want them to know you're down and like you're not like the rest of these gringos. You feel me? But
I think they knew that you were not like the
No, but you want to seem different. But you also don't want to speak
the
Spanish when you don't really speak Spanish because then you're just appropriating. And you want to,
gringos.
but you want to pronounce it in a way that you know that they
But
know.
you're pronouncing it like you've heard it, which is like Tania.
And so I don't, I don't order the ACP. I don't order your arroz con pollo. I always get the arroz tejano, tejano, which is the steak and the shrimps and the chicken, all that together. They're real, and it's so good. But
And when you order it, are they like, oh, okay. Do
claro,
they
no.
speak Spanish back to you? Like, auténtico este, sabe, él sabe,
Stop
sabe. Okay, papi, ¿cuántos? ¿Cuántos quieres, papi?
but in North Carolina or prior to moving up here, obviously I was so involved in a lot more Asian cultures, a lot of East Asian cultures. So,
Like pho.
yeah, Fong Vuor was a really great place over.
What?
I with the authentic stuff because I again my
Yeah,
friend
well, how do you pronounce that place?
Fong
Fung what?
Vuong.
Fung hava.
Fong
Is that a real
Vuong.
place or is that how you pronounce
Yeah, it
it?
is a real place. My best friends are very authentic. Not authentic, like they just really love their food. Like every time you go out with them, they're like,
I would
I
hope
need
they're
authentic
authentically.
Asian food. They're like the only thing they want to eat is, the restaurants where it's gonna make the spicy is possible. It's gonna be authentic. So that's what we did in my hipster experience back then. So that's why I do feel a part of the culture. But then you're right. I agree. What happens when the party's over? What happens when you leave a little bit? I think about all of us former hipsters, all of us former party girls. I'm like, I guess the point for me was to move on, but I feel a little removed from it as we get older.
Removed from what?
I don't know, just the culture of walking around, beep bopping around town and just going into random, little shops and being amongst the people. I actually had a conversation with
I mean,
someone.
I want you to know, I know, I still do that. I live in this, I walk everywhere. So like, I walked home and I walked into a store and I bought clothes today. Like, there's still that element. You just have to want to walk
You walked home
around.
with your bags
Yeah.
without fear of repercussion.
No. Like, why would, first of all, no one's gonna steal my shit.
Period.
Also, do people, also, I want you to look in the mirror. You are a 6'1" man. You're not an easy target, sweetie.
No, I
By
think
day, by day, by day, by day.
by day, I do
By
thank God.
night, your ankles look so petite in those heels that you could be broken in a
I
second.
thank God every day for this stature because I know in my head, I think I'm a little thing. I think I'm your height. I think I'm just
My height is crazy.
little something that's gonna be taken advantage of. But I know I'm like a big person, so I think that actually adds to it for sure. But what I mean by that is, I was having a conversation and someone was like, "Oh, I'm such an extrovert. Like I just have to be around people." And I was like, "Oh no, I like actively avoid people. I don't think it's like social anxiety. I just don't think like I enjoy people. I think interactions with people are like purposeful. Like if you see me out, it's because I'm out to be out for a reason. I'm doing an event. I'm out doing this. I'm here. I'm not out just to be out. I don't need to meet people. I don't need to talk to people. So like when I go to places, it's like, oh my gosh, where's the least amount of people? And when I'm in Ubers, I enjoy the fantasy. I enjoy the fantasy of solitary, quiet rides, right? Very Miranda Priestly, Meryl Streep, just quiet rides in your luxury car and just seeing the city pass by as you reflect on life. But that's what I always wanted.
The city,
The
the
city.
16th
That's
Street,
what I wanted. I think I see. Oh, you think DC's not a city? That's what you're saying. So
the homes.
I do wish they did have that service at Uber. I want like a ride around service, like where you can just pay like for like 30 minutes, just drive
The
around the
scenic
scenic,
route.
yeah, the scenic route, and just I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to go in a
Yeah,
circle and get
it's
dropped off
called
home.
Uber. The share, Uber share.
And you know
What
they
was it?
brought that back. I didn't realize that Uber Share was back for real, right? I thought like that was
What
never
do we
coming
used to call
back.
that? What was I don't I would never do that.
Uber Pool.
Uber
Yes, you
Pool, yeah,
did.
I would never do that now. I would never do that
Now, but
now.
back in the day, Rafi would get us at Uber Pool, and it was the worst fucking experience of my
Okay,
life.
I did that like once or twice.
It was the worst experience of my life, traumatizing. If I wanted to be in a bus, I would take a bus.
Uber pools were like a buzz, like
It
literally,
was
like oh
so
my God,
crazy. Everyone had such different
they would be
lives.
able to pick up to like one extra person, like and also it was always fucked up because if you rode Uber pool with someone else, you were probably always gonna be picked up second and then dropped off first. So it was really like a normal thing, like a normal Uber.
And I didn't realize it was back. So I'm seeing some of my mutuals in drag, especially like in New York, who are in Uber shares in full drag with all these random people. And I'm just like dying. I'm like, I couldn't imagine. I just couldn't imagine.
I guess Uber pool would be more of a thing in New York because people are already up. But see, me being up there, I would be like, I would just want to be by myself.
That's
Like,
the
girl,
thing.
like in New York, you're never by yourself. That's why I love DC because, like, you can walk outside and still feel like, okay, there's I'm not gonna run into so many people.
For sure. That's why I like the idea of being alone, but the idea of that I can interact if I really, really want to go interact with people. But I get mad. Even when I want to go do touristy things, I'm like, why are there people out in the monument? Why can't there be no one out here but me? That's like really what I feel.
I mean, I don't even think about the monuments. Who goes to the monuments?
I think it's so gorgeous to go out there on a nice day.
When's the last time you went to the monuments?
March.
Oh, okay. Oh, you were showing family around.
No, I think I just was hanging around DC and walking around. Walking around was fun, but I'm like the worst person to walk around with, if Rathy would know, because I'm like so anxious, like hyper anxious walking around DC. It's so funny.
I agree with the statement. You really give
Because
like dad energy when you walk around DC.
I don't know where I'm going, I'm like, I need to know my destination so I can like contextualize where I am.
But first of all, even if I told you, you wouldn't know where you are, so what's the point of telling
But once I
you?
get to the destination, I can be like, okay, what's around? Now I know where I am. But if I don't know where I'm going, I'm like, oh, I'm just taking in so much.
Just let it, just suck it in, honey. Take it in. Take that dick. That's why you don't bottom. You didn't learn how to relax.
You need to relax. Also, in drag, I don't wear my glasses, so I am blind during this. It's not like I can't function. It's just I cannot see, so I'm like literally rely
Well,
on
you don't
someone
walk
else.
outside in drag ever. Usually you're in boy drag when you're walking outside in the city. I've never made you walk outside.
I can name multiple times in our group that y'all love walking and not taking Uber.
Yeah, okay, one time.
One
One time. And
time.
it was from Les Dips to trade.
That was probably the most recent time.
I guess are we gonna close the statement with, businesses, the closing argument today is businesses are closing, but we do have a new gay bar here in DC called Crush. Have you been to Crush yet, Daniel?
Not yet. I haven't been to a lot of these things. Here's the thing about these new bars that pop up. It's and I hate to have this like cynical view of it. It's that like any new bar, any spot, you're obviously trying to give it like the year or two test, right? And I just think that's normal with any new business. Because you become skeptical. Like obviously, I want new places to come and thrive and people to feel safe and supported. I want all that, obviously. But like you never know what the vibe is gonna give when it first opens. So I haven't really been to a lot of these new places, but I have seen so many pictures. I've seen so many fun recycled aesthetics. I've seen,
I managed to go this over the weekend just to give it a peek, and it really looked, I mean, like I said, it looked nice inside. There was like a nice aesthetic as, but it was, again, we've seen it before. We've seen it. Yeah, I thought it was a perfect blend of like trades vibe with little gay pubs aesthetic, and I heard Dusty has a say in it, so maybe that's why. But like, to me, what is the point of building more than one bar that's going to service the same kind of group of people? Because let's be clear, like I have nothing negative to say about Crush because I don't know what it is yet, and I cannot imagine opening a bar. But I also know that if I were to open a bar, I would have a perspective of my own, and I would think about the population I would serve, and I would treat them as like the moral lining, the code. Like I'm gonna think about someone like me, someone like you, who comes out and is gender nonconforming, or is queer. Where would they want to go out? That has to be in the moral code. That has to be in the moral lining. That has to be in the people you try to communicate with. And for me, I've seen the owners of that place, and I've seen like the vibe there, and I just know the kind of crowd that they market to and who they wrote the song about. They were not, I don't think the people that were opening Crush were thinking about people like me when they were opening that bar. So that's why I would say that it just meshed and blended into with the other bars for me. But people are really excited about it. People want it to work. They're calling it the next discotheque in DC, and I'm like, well, Bunker didn't do it, so maybe they will pull it off. But I think it's going to take a lot more than just occasionally hiring black DJs for us to be convinced that this place is actually for people of color, that is actually for like everyone. Because when I was there, it looked like an episode of Sean and Cody. And I'm
Of
not talking
Sean and
about
Cody,
Sweet
the
Light.
sweet life
And
of Sean and Cody.
I am not talking about that Sean and Cody either.
It's
Wait, were their names Sean and Cody?
Zach
No.
and Cody. Oh my
Oh.
gosh. I mean, yeah, so hope for the best for all the places. I wish. I mean, again, we know it's a numbers game. The people that can afford to open up spaces in DC are not arguably going to be the most qualified to speak on diversity or have the background in that. You know what I mean? And I wish that
Well,
we.
there is, I believe there are a couple. I think some of the owners of Crush are people of color. Like I believe they are black.
Okay.
So,
That's not the pictures I saw, but I believe you.
apparently.
You just want to have those ideas. So what we're getting at is really just going beyond these surface level takes. And I relate the idea of Crush to honestly Taylor Swift. Like obviously we love Taylor Swift. I became a Swiftie during this tortured poets department fantasy she was doing. which obviously was not her best project, had mixed reviews, had all these
Ooh.
things. And part of it is because of this, again, very surface level, white feminism approach she takes. You know, there's parts in the songs where she's like, oh my God, I want to go back to the 1830 without all the racists. And that's the same sentiment I get from Crush or any other of these like kind of bars, meaning like, you're focused on like one thing, but not the intersectionality of everything else. You're like, I want to serve gays, but like, what kind of gays? Queer, Latino, Black, trans, disabled, whatever kind of gays. Just not gay. Like, it has to go a little bit more further than that for it to be inclusive. Not that that place isn't, but that's just an example of how we have to be planning here. And it's the same thing with Taylor Swift and these songs. There was a missing layer of like awareness. Like, yes, it works in this sense, but it doesn't work in the other sense. Because 1830s is not just about race, it's about power, sexual exploitation, child labor, women's right to do anything. I mean, just so many things are tied into that. What were your thoughts on the Taylor phenomenon?
I said it once and I said it again. I agree that this probably wasn't her best body of work. Nothing's going to like ever beat 1989 for me yet. But I will say that I did like some songs. I felt like I'm not a Lana Del Rey fan, so for me the
Well,
sound was a little reminiscent. If I wanted Lana Del Rey, I would have gone to Coachella, which apparently a lot of people regretted their time during that concert. How would you feel about seeing Lana Del Rey flop on Coachella? How would you feel
again,
as a Lana Del Rey fan?
me and Raffi have both seen Lana Del Rey together at the Capital One Arena years back. And it was a great show, had so much fun.
Thank you for paying for my ticket.
I doubt that. I doubt I did that.
I do. I doubt that too.
I
I
was
probably
like,
paid for
girls,
yours.
grad school. I knew I'd do it. And it was really fun. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I am a really big Lana fan. I'm not a big Coachella fan. Coachella had a weird vibe this year. Like, it was like half like popular, but half like people being like, oh, I forgot Coachella even existed.
I didn't realize it was happening until it was happening. And I was just seeing people's thing. But yep, it seemed like, a lot of people are kind of like over the Coachella vibe. I even tried to look at Doja Cat's performance and I couldn't hear her. The audio feed was messed up. I was like, is this Coachella? Is this co like
It
the
didn't really
Coachella?
give. I didn't see anything
Is this what
noteworthy.
remember the energy Beychella had, like Beyoncé, like really
I
brought
did
down.
actually watch the Beyoncé Homecoming re during this time recently, just to see, re get to that magic. And again, no one needs to be Beyoncé, but like production levels are not there. But also, again, it's weird. I don't know. I think I've never been a Coachella fan. Not like I hate Coachella, but like that aesthetic does not speak to me. Going outside to be hot in a festival for hours with people I don't know with porta potties and alcohol and drugs does not speak to my spirit in any way possible.
Yes, me too.
But I do, again, I love going to concerts. I love fun things, but all day, all night with people, no, ma'am, not with me. Because I just wouldn't care at that point. But you know, I still see the girls going. I mean, it's still weird to see James Charles, right, about people post about going to Coachella and doing Coachella looks. I mean, I think we're definitely just a little past it.
Yeah, I mean, if imagine running into James Charles, what would you do? Would you try to? You'd probably try to get free makeup, no shade.
I mean, that's my Gemini sister. We would have to kiki a bit because I don't hate anyone. I'm definitely down for
Would you
all
get a picture of James Charles?
booze.
Would you really?
I have no shame. People think I have shame. I'd have no shame, y'all. What I realized about Wait, Don't Do It, well, Raffi specifically, but Wait, Don't Do It, is that, you know, I do think there is a hint of capitalism in the mindset of what we do, and that is something.
Now
Ooh.
let's not throw we that.
It's a
I would say
you.
I think I hear what you're saying. Like I definitely think that we're capitalistic in two different ways where I feel like you love
What are
a
the
picture.
differences of?
You would love a picture with any girl. You would take a picture with James Charles. You would take a picture with. I would not really care to take pictures with people. Like, I really, if I don't like you, I'm not gonna like actually take a picture of you. But like I said, am I get would I take a Starbucks sponsorship right now? No. But would I take like a fucking if Shein reached out to me, girl, maybe. Girl, Shein, free clothes? Why not right now? I don't have the money right now to buy. I mean, I just bought new clothes, but I would prefer not to. So if I got that deal, I'm gonna say yes.
But you don't you want free clothes but not free coffee.
Again, free Palestine all day, but like,
I agree, free Palestine all day.
show me the warehouse first. Show me the warehouse first, and then I'll stop buying
No,
Shein, which I don't buy Shein. Thank you very much.
the thing is this, okay, no shade, Shein was like canceled for like a hot second, but y'all brought it back. Like I have never seen so many people be like, yeah, Shein now, like being proud again, like ask like real life. I'm like, oh my God, I can say
Who
Shein
in
again.
like high school or like actual people though?
And people like adults, other drag artists, performers, like I'm like, oh, it's a Shein. I'm like, oh, y'all buying some for Shein for real. Like I've met so many
So
people be
you
like,
would do a Shein sponsorship right now.
boots. I would do it all because
What sponsorship would you say? Wait, don't take this sponsorship. What sponsorship would you not take right now? Offered you $1 million, but it was like the
I
NRA.
don't know.
Like,
I don't know if
if
I'm, I, you
the
know.
NRA, if the NRA was like Drag Queens for America, New New Paris, guns.
Light them up, shoot them up,
Yeah.
cowboy, bitch. You can come
This
in.
ain't
I
Texas.
need you in there with the picky, bitch. Cowboy Carter. Honey, no shade. And it's really no shade. It's really no shade.
You would take an NRA sponsorship? Imagine, wait to do it. The Change for the People, sponsored by the
Right. And I would still work for the people, but like.
NRA.
Yeah. And that's just being honest. Obviously, we're like two people of color who have had to work, and you know, we don't come from lavish family backgrounds, so like we've had to work and grind. So for us,
We've
you
had
know,
to work and grind is crazy.
what do you mean? We have had to work and grind.
I feel like you work, you don't grind. You do not know what grinding is. You do
I
not
think
know
I grind every
that.
day.
You don't. You grind up weed. You grind on your man. I was, but you are not grinding as in like hitting the pavement running and like really working.
I really give that. I'm a hustler.
Dudu was like, yo, I know we're getting to the point where we're like just like bantering, but we are might be doing a lot more events around the city. And I was just like thinking, like, Dudu, what do you think about doing like a weekly Tuesday gig? And just if you know Nunu Paris, I don't even think Nunu would take a weekly radio show. Like that would be just
It was
yeah, like her being in this like somewhere on a Tuesday at 6 p.m. every
it's gonna be
Tuesday would
wild.
just be that'd be a lot. And I agree. I agree. But would you do a weekly radio show? This
Yeah,
was not a
absolutely.
radio show. This was not a radio show, y'all. But I would definitely I would make you do the radio
I
show.
would. I mean, I think I'm a hustler. I really view myself a hustler. I tell people all the time, yeah, I do this, I do that, then I go to my gigs. And I'm a hustler. In my head, a full street bitch. You feel me?
Oh,
Like
I mean, it's okay to believe your lies.
no, it's just what I feel in my head, my heart, my soul. That's like what I am. So, you know, like I said, we've had to grind and work to get to where we are, and we have to take opportunities and build, you know, equity so we can do more. And that's just the reality for so many business owners, so many people like us across the country. That's where I'm like, yeah, we do need reparations in the form of tax breaks. They're not paying taxes, they're doing these other things so that we can build this equity and these funds to be able to launch these massive projects like we want to. And that's the mindset we come at it, and it's like we kind of have to come at it with this hustler mentality. And I know sometimes other artists or owners or other people in the city view it a little differently. Sometimes they're just focused on like just the art of it all and not like I feel like we sacrifice sometimes what we maybe truly want to do for the sake of making sure that what we have is going to continue to grow and so that we can help others and people along the way. I always believe in sacrificing for your dreams.
So when I get you, when I make you drive across the country for a casting call for the next big TV show, would you do it?
If the ticket was paid for, yeah.
See.
But you know, I'm not de I'm not gonna say desperate.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say
Was
desperate.
even more so
I'm not
desperate
gonna
when
say
she
desperate.
applied for America's Next Top Model. She didn't get the casting call, but she drove
I would say
across.
I don't think it's desperation. I think passion is really what I'm looking for. Our passions align differently, especially mine. I obviously do have a career that I enjoy and a full thing that I am passionate about. So
That's insane. That's insane. So I don't have passion in my career.
no, it's just I have a career. You know what I mean? I have a career, everyone. I'm just y'all know what I mean when I say
No, I
career.
don't. No, we don't. No one does, but I'm gonna let you live
When
on
you have a
that one.
career, you know, you already are dedicating so much to that focus and that passion. And you know, when you're a leader, you're doing a lot. So like it's hard to have multiple projects managing at once.
I mean, I relate to that, but especially when you have to manage the other one too.
Right. I mean, I'm sure all everyone's mini projects may lead up to something I do, but to manage a full career and a full drag career, multiple careers, it's crazy. It's definitely crazy. But I'm grateful for just the opportunities and the ability to still be here. I'm still here after all these years.
What a fun episode today, Nunu. What did you learn today?
I learned that DC's view of bodegas are very different, and the shops that are cool and safe are just hidden around the city. But I've learned that if you love the spice of life, that you'll go to these tiny bodegas and enjoy all the fine, random hidden gems. What have you learned from this episode?
Oh my God, thank you for asking me, Nunu. I think that I learned something I was really surprised to today was you opened my eyes. Maybe we should change the name to Chinatown. Maybe we should like start a petition and say maybe we should start an equality town. Why is it called just Chinese town? Why do
Wait,
Chinese
don't Chinatown.
why do Chinese people get their town? Okay, why don't we just get everyone get a town? Well, hey, welcome to downtown everyone town.
Downtown, every town. Why can't we live in Lazy Town or something? You know what I mean?
Oh my God, Nunu, it's always nice to circle back with you and just touch base. I hope you know have you hope you have a great rest of your day. I hope you have a great rest of your week. I love speaking to you. I love that you're in my life. Big hugs to Nunu, my hardest working diva in America.
Make sure you follow the hardest working diva at Nunu Parish, y'all. Make sure you follow at Reggaeton Brunch DC for our year anniversary on May 25th. Go ahead and get those tickets, links, and bio. And then we have our Pride Edition on June 8th. We can't wait for this summer. We can't wait for authentic vibes, meetings, and celebrating with the people who do see us and who do want us to succeed. So thank you again. This has been Wait, Don't Do It.
And of course, we're telling you to wait. Don't be afraid to ride the metro.
Don't be afraid to ride the metro. Don't be afraid to ride the bus. Don't be afraid to walk into that bodega. You
Don't
might
be
meet
afraid
your
of fried
friend
rice.
of Rice Market in Logan Circle.